We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finn, and we've got a wonderful show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we're going to be doing a rebroadcast of Naftali Charter, wrote a book called Torah Visuals. This was a great interview, great book, and you're going to really love it. In the second half of the show, we'll be speaking about portion of Nitzavim Vayela, which is at the end of Deuteronomy. Some Rosh Hashanah we'll throw in there. That's coming up real soon. We've got music, wonderful music all throughout the show. A very poignant Baal Shem Tov story. This last week was the Baal Shem Tov's birthday. He would have been 323 had he been alive today. But before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. IDF soldier Barel Hadare Shmueli was shot in the head during riots along the Gaza border and is in critical condition at Soroka Hospital in Beersheva. Israel blew up Hamas weapon factories in response, and visuals and all kinds of things have been going on for Shmueli, and our prayers go out to him. As many as 1,000 Palestinians rioted near Gaza, the Gaza-Israel border. Some protesters ran towards the fence, triggering tear gas. 14 people were injured in the clash. Hamas continued to send fire balloons from Gaza into Israel. Israel destroyed more Hamas military sites. In other news, PA police assaulted two reporters from the Washington Post, that's the Palestinians, at a rally protesting the death of an opposition leader to the PA in Ramallah. The police ordered the journalists not to publish any pictures of Palestinian police arresting Palestinians. In hate crimes this week, and a lot of them, unfortunately, this is in order of how they came in, not in order of importance or anything. A Muslim man punched two people in the head, sending one to the hospital in the heavily Jewish Stamford Hill section of London. Swastikas were etched into a Holocaust memorial in Rydzyka, Poland. Nazi slogans were spray-painted on a synagogue in Madrid, Spain. A Jewish teen wearing a kippah was severely beaten in Cologne, Germany. The 18-year-old was punched and kicked by a group of 10 teens who stole his kippah and broke his nose and cheekbone. Two former Torrance, California police officers were charged with vandalism for spray painting a swastika on the back seat of an impounded car. The district attorney is still considering whether this was a hate crime. Like, hello, wake up. The Chabad synagogue in Long Beach, New York was vandalized and two Torah scrolls stolen. This was actually their soft opening. Brand new place. A homeless man was arrested. The Torahs have not been recovered. Hackers posted death threats onto an online memorial for a former Jewish school principal in Rio de Janeiro. A 36-year-old Israeli was stabbed and killed in Tangier, Morocco. And finally, a Jewish man was slapped at a hotel pool in Aventura, Florida. The perp was arrested and may be charged with hate crimes. And finally, Israel's government unanimously agreed to adopt a low-carbon economy, parts of its commitment to the global effort reducing greenhouse gases. The plan calls for an 85% reduction of carbon emissions from the 2015 events levels by 2050. And that's the news. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Rabbi, is it? I just forgot to ask if it was Mr. or Rabbi Naftali Charter, and he's involved with an organization that he started, founded, is producing, is probably the chief cook and bottle washer of Torah Visuals, and you can check out the stuff he's doing at TorahVisuals.com. How are you today, Naftali?
I am good, Baruch Hashem. How's it going?
Good, thank God. I forgot to ask you, is it Rabbi?
It's not a rabbi. Not I completed really. The course, but I never went by rabbi.
Okay, that's fair enough. We're just going to call you Naftali then. Okay, thanks. So Torah Visuals. Now, there's this idea. People think in two ways. They either think in language or they think pictorially. For the most part, for the last 3,300 years, Judaism has been conveyed verbally. Teacher to student who became this teacher who became the student. So now comes the 21st century, and we have all kinds of wonderful devices that were not available or readily at hand 3,300 years ago. And so now we're starting to see the introduction of the pictorial explanation. I've noticed that there are many graphic novel versions of things that are coming out. So what do you, Naftali, what do you attribute this now to this move to introducing the picture into explaining Torah concepts?
I mean, we live in the digital age. There's, you know, stats that come out that men between the ages of like 75 and 15 will get 80% of their media from YouTube and just natural average screen times that society shares today. People wouldn't imagine just how much time society spends between looking at either a phone or a TV screen or a laptop. It's really incredible. And on the internet as well. And so we could see that all of a sudden society is spending a huge amount of time in cyberspace and a much smaller ratio of their time and their, you know, putting their attention on is down here in this world. So we've seen this, you know, amazing change into the digital age. And for us on Torah Visuals, we wanted to realize that, you know, this is where the world is spending their time. And so the content of has got to reach the digital age. It's got to reach people, you know, where they're spending their time, which is primarily, you know, scrolling down on their phone on some platform or the other. And so the content, it has to reach these platforms because, you know, that's where society exists these days.
Okay, that's great. I'm glad you explained it that way. Okay, so now let's hear about Naftali Charter just a little bit. What put you in the position where you feel that this is what you need to be doing now?
Well, like a couple of other projects, it just started off as something that I wanted for myself. You know, you looked on YouTube, and if you're trying to find, you know, Torah content on, you know, online, you will find a lot of, you know, videos of, you know, different rabbis, you know, giving classes. And that might work if you're familiar with the rabbi at hand, then okay, you can watch a YouTube video of them giving over a class. But if you don't know that rabbi, you're not going to listen to, you know, what some guy is going to be saying, because especially in regards to spiritual matters, which are very personal, people, you know, have a very, you know, specific way that they can relate to God. They're not going to listen. And so you looked on the internet and there was literally almost no content out there. Excuse me. There was, you know, there was some stuff, but really nothing where someone can just, you know, get the information in a modern infographic animation style that really uses the visuals to portray the concepts. And so it just started off as something that I always wanted for myself. And then, you know, I was introduced to an animator that I thought that could, together we can pull it off. And, you know, we've been trucking it ever since. We start off as from two people to three people. We're now at 11 between all the different responsibilities. And it's just been, you know, a mission like that where we all of us had a real deep love for the concepts, and we all just wanted to see the concept, the content ourselves. So we created it, and there we're able to share it as well.
Okay, so there you've got some interesting stories. Just when I heard about you and your life, and I guess maybe previous incarnations or carnations, the case may be, but a carnation is a flower. You fought pirates in Somalia and broke people out of jail in India.
It's actually, yeah, true story. So I was in the Israeli army, and about like 15 hours after I got out of the army, I was recruited by a private security company that primarily needed soldiers without Israeli passports, with American passport. So I was an American as well. And we would take oil tankers just across the ocean and dealt with any piracy security. It was cool because we got to go to a lot of countries that, in that area of the Persian Gulf, we wouldn't usually otherwise be able to set foot in. And it was interesting though, because I literally, you know, went straight from the army. Not 3 days later, I was on a ship, you know, out of the port of Sudan. So that was a really cool experience. After that, I did that for 2 years after the army. After that, I did a couple semesters in college, just to kind of even up on the education. And then I lived in actually Saudi Arabia for 4 months. I was doing private security for a family there. And at that point, there was a Chabad house in India that reopened, and I was contacted to help them. This was the Chabad house that had the attack in 2008, the famous story there. So when they
Unfortunately.
reopened this in 2014, I was contacted to go set up the security company there, and to set up the security system. And once that was done, I was stayed around in India. And then I came across a story where someone had to be broken out of jail, but I don't know how deep we can go into that now, because it's
That's
a bit of a long
you
story.
can make a movie about that. In fact, there was made one in 1978 called Midnight Express, and it was a very scary movie. Yeah, well, not for now.
I've heard of that movie. I've been hesitating to watch it, because maybe just did a better job than me. But yeah, I'll get around to watching it sometime. I've been saving it.
Yeah, for Nittle. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Okay, so now let's talk about Torah visual. Let's get some who, what, where, whens, whys, and hows. So how did you had an idea. I need to put this really deep Hasidic concept, which when I introduce this class and these concepts, I say what you're about to embark on are the most difficult concepts in Judaism. So you decided, you know what? We need to explain this in such a way that people can like relate to it as they did when they were kids in cartoons. So what did you do then?
Well, the plan was to really make the ideas, you know, to come across with a way of portraying, you know, the ideas of God, which it's funny, it might not only be the most complicated ideas in Judaism. Excuse me, some might say they're the most complicated ideas in the world, you know, the existence of omnipresent, creating everything at the same time that is above time and space, you know. It's actually, we as we know, it's honestly impossible to understand. We say that our minds can never fully grasp God. So like I say, we have this running joke that we explain things that you can never understand, which is almost a foolhardy mission. But there's incredible worth in uniting with God, and even attempting, you know, and trying to wrap your brain. That is, with, you know, one of the strongest ways to connect and to build a relationship with God, because it's not something so foreign. Even if you don't completely understand it, it becomes a more realistic existence in your life. And so we started off with the Tanya, and we realized, we zeroed in on this being on the second book of the Tanya, Shaichud Bamuna, being a very solid angle, like going about it, like kind of a step-by-step process of understanding God. And when we wanted to make, you know, originally content, we didn't originally veer towards this chapter, but we realized when talking about Judaism or Torah or anything, before you can talk about anything these days, first you gotta talk about God. You gotta realize that there's more to this world than what we see and what we feel, and we understand that it's all God. Once we can build that relationship, really all the learning, you know, comes after that. You gotta, before you could learn the what and the how, you know, it's good to learn the why. You know, we learn all these different things about Torah, like the laws, we have to do this at this time, and that's what, but, you know, not always maybe is there enough time focused on the why do we do all these things. And once we start really understanding God and studying God, even if we can't truly grasp him, it builds a relationship that, you know, covers all the rest of our lives.
Okay, so now, so you and another person, a graphic artist, decided we're going to do this. How's your background in understanding these deep Hasidic concepts?
Not that much. I'll be the first to tell you. I'm no expert, and I wouldn't even put myself at a mediocre level. But I was familiar with, you know, the generalized ideas of the content. I was familiar with the source minimally. And I was waiting to do this actually for like 3 or 4 years. The idea was brewing in my head before it started. I knew I wanted to put a channel out there of content, and I knew I wanted to, you know, put out, you know, spiritual content. And you see, there's an internet that's filled with all these things, and we understand that if God created it, it's for using of good. Everything that God creates can either be used, you know, for bad or for good. And, you know, the internet as well. Used to be like the power of the internet, the ability for us to create one video and it could be seen by potentially billions of people, as opposed to having to make like a hard copy and selling it. It's so accessible to share information these days at an incredible pace that you could, you know, share something literally with the entire world. Then it has to be used for Torah study and the study of God. And I'll be honest, I didn't know animation right away. I was at that wall. I wanted to put it out. A couple of times I put a computer up, you know, to start speaking into it, and I'm looking at the screen and I'm thinking, okay, no one wants to hear what I have to say. I don't even want to hear what I have to say. And just, you know, speaking to some friends, came the idea of animation. And what we really loved about animation, just from asking around and doing some market research, was that animation had this kind of disarming effect on people, where if they were to see like a rabbi or a person talking, that maybe with like a beard, and then they would get very somewhat defensive, like, what does this guy know that I don't know? And it just sometimes, especially because we're talking about things of God and, you know, things that people can be very passionate about, it's like, what does this guy know more than me? And right away, a lot of times people's defenses would shoot up and, you know, their ears would close off. And we realized with animation that we kind of, you know, snuck around people's defenses. They didn't look at it like, oh, what does this rabbi know that I don't know? What's he going to tell me? Mm-hmm. But the animation let it just bring out on the content itself, and it wasn't branded in any sort of way by a face.
Mm-hmm. Sounds kind of like the Bugs Bunny effect, maybe.
Interesting. I didn't know there was a name, but that's a great one.
I just coined it myself, actually. But it kind of is like it's, yes, what's, I recognize a cartoon as being something that I watched as a kid, and I did them to relax and enjoy, and then therefore whatever I see in cartoon contact, my brain is already flipping back to my childhood, and you should pardon the expression, Saturday morning cartoons.
Right. And the defenses go away and people are very receptive. So when I finally came across the angle of animation, you know, I once went to visit a friend and he was working with an animator, Shmuley Bell. I gave him a call. At first I wasn't familiar at all with animation. So I had these very high aspirations. We're going to release every single day a 2-minute clip. And right away I learned that animation is not something that simple. It takes hours and hours and hours of work. But we were like, all right, whatever it takes. And so at that point we had a couple people join the team. We had Alter join on the script writing and narration. And slowly we took on a second animator and a third animator. And even a fourth, each person having their specialty that they really maximized in, which is either lighting or After Effects or 3D. And we started to churn out the episodes. And, you know, we actually, you know, when we first started, we started on a different beginning of Tanya, on a different portion. And we realized that it was already talking about like much more personal things of what a person should do and shouldn't do. And we realized that, no, this wasn't the way to go. At that point, we pivoted. We went to the second chapter where it was really just talking about God and the creation of God and the unity and how we're all part of God and nothing really exists beside him. You, me, all of us, everything constantly be creating. And then we realized this was the way to go and then pedal to the metal full steam ahead.
Okay, our guest today is Naftali Charter from Torah Visuals, and you can check out the website at www.torahvisuals.com. In Judaism, it seems like the pattern is whenever there's something new or innovative, somebody stands up and says, no, we can't do that. That's not the way it's done. We've been doing it this way for thousands of years, and no. So did you get opposition, and how did you deal with opposition, Naftali?
We definitely got a little. Be honest, we really thought that we were under the mindset, you know, if no one's against you, then you're not, you know, doing something meaningful enough. But it was always just minimal. Some of the things that, you know, in regards to, you know, painting a picture of God, there was a lot of complaints. And I guess they had a point, but we definitely spoke with the appropriate rabbis. But in general, the reaction's been very strong. It's in our second project that we've been facing a little bit more pushback, but we understand it to be a good thing. Because all of our content is, or at least 80% of what you're watching on a 2D screen is actually 3D items that we're taking a 2D picture, 2D viewing of, we've been working for some now on converting all of our content to 360 virtual reality content that could be accessed and utilized on some of the new technology that's out today. I don't know if people are familiar, but there's a lot of really impressive in the virtual reality world that's been coming out. So we've been making this pivot because a lot of our content was already compatible to start really entering that industry and entering that arena based along the same, you know, science and mindset, which is if there's a new thing that's out there, if God's created this great, you know, amazing new technology, it has been created for good. And there's really powerful technology that, you know, you put on these goggles, especially the ones that are out now. And it really takes you somewhere else. Your senses are fooled. What you see, what you hear is all changed. And within a couple of minutes, your brain forgets where you are and truly believes in the scenario that's in front of you right now. It's really, you know, powerful technology that's out today. So we're really trying to jump into that head first.
Interesting. So how then, Naftali, do you fit an infinite God into only three dimensions?
You don't. Like you said, God, it's infinite. It's an infinite. But the grasping and every step that you can come closer and understanding, you know, is a more, you know, amazing level that you can reach in your personal relationship. And this type of 3D content definitely helps you visualize and conceptualize things that never before. Primarily, it kind of clicks in this idea that if right now, if I put the goggles on someone and everything they see and hear and potentially even touch is fake, it's there because our program has put it there, then all of a sudden you can understand in this world that I'm looking around, I'm seeing all these things, but doesn't exactly exist the way I think it is. Now, there's a God constantly creating, it's putting everything there. And there's a lot of like small similarities in this idea of like a virtual reality world to in how God created the world. It's almost like, you know, a godlike, you know, angle of being able to put someone in a completely false reality that you've created, and something that's very powerful can be used for very negative things, but most primarily it's meant to be used for positive things, and specifically about learning about God, and specifically about visualizing and conceptualizing the unity of God, the oneness of everything around you. I think that there's some amazing tools in that industry that can really empower someone. So in that type of work, we have faced some opposition, but we've always taken it as extremely validating, you know, because if you want to do something really big and meaningful, chances are there's going to be some opposition. It's just the way it's always been. So okay. We wouldn't be shocked. So thank God we've gotten a lot of love.
Cool. You've put out a series of videos already, and you've up to, I think, six of them already. For just Shaar Yichud V'Emunah, just this one section of Tanya, how many do you think you will have to finish what it is, whatever you want to finish saying about the 12 chapters of that section of the Tanya, Naftali?
So we have on our plate of projects, we have infinite amount of stuff. So we definitely want to finish this first chapter. It's a great foundation. It's a great, like Shaar Yichud is, it's a gate. It's really a journey where certain concepts are brought up in the beginning and then throughout the chapters, it really takes you on a stair-like adventure where, you know, in the beginning, you don't really know anything. At the end, you're in a completely new place. That's why it's called the gate. So we really want to get the season of Shaar Yichud V'Emunah. We have some incredible plans for Nach and for Nevi'im and Ksuvim, as we've realized that, you know, it's just, it's maybe of all the different subjects in Judaism, at least from what I've seen from our circles, it's maybe some of the weakest, you know, just on our knowledge of Nach, you know. There's some other, sometimes religions that seem to be, have a formidable reference for it, but when it comes, it seems even myself, like I said, I start making these things because I need to learn it myself. So we're really having, we have a nice script for Nach and a real nice angle to go through that, also using this infographic animation style, just making these concepts really enjoyable. We're really pushing forth on our some virtual reality content that we're hoping to bring. We have a bunch of schools that have already signed up, and we're really hoping it to bring to many schools across the world. We really, you know, believe in this kind of angle in the education sector where we've seen like a lot of schools are in somewhat of a, what can be called a war with technology, you know, that educators are fighting to educate their kids, but it's really hard to keep up with modern technology. You know, they can sit in a class, but you know, they can scroll their phones and go through YouTube, and depending on which, you know, where you are, it depends if the kid has a phone and a different age, but it's just getting more popular and more younger that the generation is getting access to technology. And we really believe that if, you know, educators want to compete with the technology companies that are out there in their apps and their education, then they have to jump right forth and they have to jump into the technology world.
Okay.
And that's something that we are really going to be pushing for.
Okay. We're running out of time. Just one question. So, okay. So you at some time in the future will finish the present series, and it will be discussing these topics that you're in the middle of discussing right now. And someone sits down and watches all of these videos that you prepared. What would you like to see this person walk away with, having viewed all these videos?
Straight off the bat, a stronger relationship with God. A stronger, all of a sudden, this is not some, you know, it becomes just a little more real. It's something that's, it's everything, yet at the same time, can sometimes apparently be nowhere to be found. I can't see it. I don't see signs. Life's hard. And the beautiful thing is that we do get messages from people. You know, it's the most beautiful thing in the world to get a message from someone and say, like, the videos have really, you know, changed the course of my life, and we've gotten them. And that, you know, it makes it all worth it. These videos are also, they're extremely expensive to put out, and we're not following any business model. We're dumping a lot of money into videos and just putting in the world for free because we understand in the realness of it. But when we get the type of message of people really all of a sudden seeing their life differently, you know, we really hope to awaken a thirst of learning so they can take our videos and then go and do their own research. And we definitely have people that reach out and I'll tell them like more books that they can jump into. That's kind of like a gateway into. And we're hoping that can, because there's a lot of information besides for, you know, these 12 videos that we're going to put out. So we really hope to open the thirst of people trying to build a relationship with God and understand Him a little better so they can come a little closer to Him instead of keeping it as an abstract myth. And that is our goal, to really open that relationship up. And we can see is that once it takes off, it can really jump off from there where people really start to learn and they can do their own investigations and learn and see what else there is besides for in the videos.
Okay.
So curiosity is the main thing that we would hope people would leave away with.
Okay, that is fantastic. Our guest today has been Naftali Charter. The organization, www.toravisuals.com. It's all one word, spelled as it sounds. And thank you so much for enlightening us, and we wish you tremendous success, Naftali.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate the time. I really does. It's really any help to get it out there. We measure our success by views, not because it's being monetized, because that's just another person that we were able to, you know, maybe add a little. So I really appreciate it. And I hope anyone that hears this can enjoy the content and have an amazing Shabbos.
Okay, you too. And we hope you'll keep us apprised of future developments.
Of course. Of course.
Okay, that's going to do it. Take care. And
take care. It was nice to speak to you. Bye-bye.
Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. I hope you like that. I did. For your listening pleasure, this is Avram Fried and Levi Kleinstein. The song is called Matanot Katanot, Small Gifts.
Zeod Yom Shishi, no shemet avi, haor vehatzel mesachakim shuv tofeset. Ashulchan aruch, tmunot yaldut alaki, shayarot levanot chozrot libet kneset. והריח הזה ששורט לי את הלב מתגנב, מתגנב פותח דלתות אין לו שיר קטן אין אותו שיר ישר שעובר אצלנו במשך דורות מתנות קטנות מישהו שלח לי מתנות קטנות בסיסים של כוונה, עיגולים של אמונה, מתנות קטנות. מישהו שלח לי מתנות קטנות, כמו הכוח לקבל את מה שאין, את מה שיש. מה עוד אפשר כבר לבקש?
כפיים, כפיים, כפיים!
זה עוד יום שישי, מרפסת ביתו, השמש כמו עדי עדות לאט נמחקת. מנגינות פשוטות, זוחלות מהחלום, ושום שערה כבר לא תסתיר פה את השקט. אתם, מתנות קטנות. מתנות קטנות מישהו שלח לי מתנות קטנות כמו הכוח לקבל את מה שאין את מה שיש מה עוד אפשר כבר לבקש מתנות קטנות כיוונו וחרת אותנו קידשת ברוך אתה השם מקדש השבת והריח הזה שזורט לי את הלב הלב הלב
מתגנב מתגנב
פותח דלתות אל אושר קטן אל אותו שיר ישר
With the new year approaching, why go anywhere else for your holiday shopping when you can go to the Grove? Fully renovated, the Grove is located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696. At the Grove, you'll find the largest selection of kosher foods and wines in Michigan. Looking for fresh, round holiday challahs, honey cake, or exotic fruit for the new year? The Grove has it. The Grove has the freshest produce, gourmet dairy, deli, and meats. They even have a kosher bakery and hot takeout right on the premises. It's the Grove on Greenfield Road and 696 for all your shopping needs. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Up for your listening pleasure next. This is the immortal Mickey Katz and Mazel Tov Dances.
Mazel Tov, Kinder, sollte alle sein gesehen.
Congratulations!
rentrer dans la roue et de le faire démarrer ton aimant, hein?
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Hey, Schultzman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We've got time for one more. This piece is the singer Shuly Rand. I think this is, he might be known, but not known to me. This is the first time I've come across him. And this piece is very poignant. I like this piece. It's called Oker Harim, which means rip up mountains, which it says God doesn't ask you to rip up mountains. He's asking you to just do what you can do. Let's listen.
לעולם כדי להיות תלמיד חכם עוקר הרים ומשברן בתוך ענן דק דק לא באתי להיות קוצץ בנטיות באש קודח לכאן לא באתי בכלל כדי להפריח לחלל שברי מילים ואותיות ודיבורים סרק סרק לא להיות חוגר המתחלל בטרם יפתח כמו כן עובד לי בבירור כי לא הושלחתי לעולם החור לתת עיני בפי אסור אבק פורח ונשבעתי כי באתי לחסות בצל האל להתבונן אני לא באתי לצער לקנטר להתכבד בקלונו של החבר לבד על דם 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 לא באתי להיות מחליק לשון קורא ברך ודאי שלא באתי לתכנן, להתעניין, לשלוח יד בערוגה של השכן הייתכן, כן, כן, לא באתי להיות לסתים עורר בצד הדרך וכבר נעיל לי וברור כי לעולם יהיה לי בשבור ומה יועיל לי רוב מרמור ומה לי להתלונן אם נשבעתי כי באתי לחסות בצל האלה
להכחיש את הקיים בחקירות ועיונים ודידוקים דק דק לא באתי להלך נטוי גרון ומתנפח לכאן לא באתי בכלל ולהרעיל את החלל בחרמות וחרפות וגידופים סג סג לא באתי לבייש אף אחד לא באתי לנצח ולא נעיל ולא ברור מה יהיה הסוף של הסיפור האם ברוך האם ברור לא ידעתי ונשמעתי כי באתי לחסות אצל האלה
כי אתה סובב כל העלמין ואתה מלא כל העלמין אין לי אלוה מבלדיך ולתתר פנוי מימך
כי אתה סובב כל העלמין ואתה מלא כל העלמין אין לי אלוה מבלדיך ולתתר פנוי מימך
We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and Methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community. And Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813. Or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com. Shul Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. This week is a portion of Nitzavim Va'elech. It is mandated that this portion, the portion of Nitzavim, it's a double portion, It's a single portion, which is sometimes split, depending on what day Yom Kippur happens to be. And sometimes you need to read Vayelech after Yom Kippur. But not this year. Don't worry. So we have the portion of Nitzavim Vayelech. Every part of Nitzavim has to have some sort of connection to Rosh Hashanah. Otherwise, why would it be mandated that it be read before Rosh Hashanah? There's a lot of really good philosophy in it. The mitzvahs are pretty much done. We're now in the part of the book of Deuteronomy where Moses is conveying his blessings to the Jewish people. We got the curses out of the way last week. Baruch Hashem, that's gone. Okay, now we're in the blessing stages. So we have Nitzavim Vayelech and Hazinu and Zeis HaBracha. And then we're done, and then we're back to Bible stories. Yay! But don't go so excited. It's a month before we get to there. It's the end of September this year before we get back to the Bible stories. There's an interesting verse that says, God will return your captives. It's a promise that the Almighty makes. Now, first of all, what it says is, wait, there's going to be captives? And unfortunately, there will be, Moses is predicting that there will be a time when the Jewish people will no longer merit to occupy the Holy Land, but God will return your captives, meaning that there will come a time after that where the Jews will merit to occupy the Holy Land. Now, I'm specifically using the expression Holy Land rather than Israel. I'm not going to wax in political over here. I'm a theologian, but the first Lubavitcher Rebbe said that if he would have the power, he would institute 2 days of Yom Tov, of the holiday, be celebrated even in the land of Israel. Now, the reason why we have 2 days of Yom Tov is because we don't know exactly when the moon is made new. That's what happened 500 years ago when the person, Hillel Cutten, formulated the calendar and made it such, but they did it, even before that. They did it in the Second Temple times, maybe even earlier when the Jews were in Babylon. They didn't know when it was going to be the first day of the when the new moon was going to be in Jerusalem. So out of a doubt, we said, well, it could be this day, it could be that day. You know what? We'll do both days. But there were rebbes that didn't go to Israel simply because they didn't want to give up the holiness of the second day of Yontif. So when it says that God will return your captives to the land of Israel, it means that he's going to reinstate the Israel as what we would refer to as the Holy Land, with everything that's described specifically in the last part of last week's portion, where it talks about, well, you really need to get your act together and have a Holy Land there. So what are we waiting for? What's it got to do with us right now? Most of us do not feel as though we are captives. Yeah, maybe, no. But we should know we are even in our own personal exiles. Just like it's possible for a person to have their own personal Messiah and achieve a level of revelation like, say, a Shimon Bar Yochai or a Menachem Mendel Vitebsk, that they achieve the level of a personal Mashiach. We're all in our own, therefore, personal gulluses, which means there's something missing. It says this whole month, we're at the end of the month, and we've been talking about it, that we have to engage and increase our Torah study, our prayers, our feeling towards Judaism, our tzedakah, our charity, and come to the Almighty before Rosh Hashanah and say, Hashkifa mamoin katshecha min hashamayim, of the land of last week's portion, in the middle of last week's portion, look down from your holy resting place. And then, as it says in this week's portion, v'shavusecha eshvisecha, and I'm not saying that correctly, I don't have the book in front of me, but God will return your captives, and we should speedily merit that in 5782, we be offering the sacrifices in the temple. We are going to take a quick commercial break. Don't go away. We've got a really great Hasidic story. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard. The Spex Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Best way, rabbifinman.com. Go to my website, and right on the homepage, there's a Contact Us link, and you can contact me. And I welcome any comment, question, criticism, critique, query, whatever it is you got. And I usually respond to, pretty quickly. It depends on what my schedule is. If you get it in on Sunday, I usually answer on Sunday because that's when I have time, Sunday afternoon. But during the week, I'll make a point, I'll get to it. I have yet not to respond to somebody's email. Thank God. What else is on rabbifinman.com? Well, you find archive editions of the show going back to the last 200 weeks. Do a binge watch. Let me know. Binge listen. Let me know how that works for you. And if you were traveling cross-country, you would not be able to finish back and forth if you just listened to The Jewish Hour, one episode after the other. That's really pretty cool. Now I just think I thought about it. You'll also find other ways in which we present Judaism in a very entertaining and educational way. You'll also find the very important donation page. It's Elul. It's a time when we're supposed to be making sure, like I said in last week's portion, make sure your tithes are up to date, your 10%. The Jewish Hour is a product of a 501(c) nonprofit charitable organization that does many things here in the greater Detroit area and serving cyberspace in the world beyond, and is listener-supported like yourself. Yes, we do have commercials. That only pays for part. The greater part for the last 26 years that we've been on air has been listeners like you. So go to rabbifinman.com, go to the donations page, make it a monthly donation. If you can't do a big one, you make 12 small ones. That's also good. It's all safe, secure, and
very easy to do. If you don't like internet giving, I understand. Drop your donation of any amount in a proper mailing receptacle and put the proper postage on and send it to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Do it today, please, especially before Rosh Hashanah. Man came to the Baal Shem Tov, whose birthday was celebrated last week, and said to him, he doesn't know what's happened to him. He's decided he wanted to get more involved with his Judaism. And he was like, his learning was like really deep. And his davening was ecstatic. And when he did a mitzvah, he had such joy from it. And then suddenly, it all went dry. So Baal Shem Tov said to him, you have a store that prepares food. They used to, when I was a kid, they called them appetizers, appetizing stores. You know, it's not that you necessarily got appetizers, but it was, you know, it's carry out. And so what does a guy do is he has like a table and he puts out samples. Okay, and anybody can come and take a sample. So one guy comes in and he just samples everything. And he really likes one thing or a couple things. And he's going, and the proprietor stops him and says, that'll be $20. He says, what? Why are you charging me all of a sudden? It's been free till now. So the proprietor says, why do you think I put this stuff out for free? He says that people can sample it and they see how good it is. And now they'll want more of it, so now they have to pay for it. It's called, in simple English, marketing. So he says, you got excited one day, and the excitement really wasn't from you. This is very often a person will wake up and say, you know, I want to go do something Jewish. Where'd that come from all of a sudden? Don't look a gift horse in the mouth or a gift cow, whatever animal it happens to be, because the Almighty just gave you a gift. And the Almighty says, look. Look how delicious it is. Tama oru ki tov Hashem. Look, taste and see how good is God. And you get into it. And then suddenly, the Almighty says, okay, now you have to pay for it. Now, if you want to maintain that excitement, you have to work at it. And it's true. There's something called nahama de kesufa, bread of laziness, that if it just gets given to you, okay, you got it. But we need to work. So don't expect everything to be handed. The Almighty is expecting us to get our acts together. Yes, before Rosh Hashanah, the time is to put ourselves out there, to increase in Torah study, both qualitatively, quantitatively, pay more attention to your studies and to do a little bit more every day. A day without Torah is not like a day without sunshine. A day without Torah is a day without sunshine. Prayer is a time for reflecting and self-improvement and becoming a better person. Charity, the money that you give away is not yours. God pays for all mitzvahs, including tzedakah. So if you're giving away charity, it's the Almighty's paying that. Make sure you're giving it 10%. And then just being generally aware that there is a God in the world and spirituality and focus on what's important in life. And it says, finally, that this will bring not just a good Rosh Hashanah, but it will bring the ultimate redemption, Ashir LaHashem Ki Ga'ego, that I will sing a song because he is most praised. That was Moses sang by the sea. But Ashir is in future tense. I will sing. Moses will be back when Mashiach comes and he'll lead us again in song. Speaking of song, that's going to do it for today. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We hope to see you back again next week. Take care.